Now, we just kind of got into this little thought last Sunday. The idea discussed then was that God, in His Word, strictly forbid violence. Violence toward our fellow men. Any violent action. Therefore, we conclude that this isn't that kind of violence. And it isn't any action toward our fellow men. But it is in regard to ourselves. And we are to take a violent attitude against ourselves. Now, right in here is where the battleground is. Right in here is where the victory is going to be won or lost. Right in here is where we will possess the kingdom of God, if we possess it at all. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Paul said, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the kingdom of God is set up in the hearts of men that have overcome themselves. If you don't overcome yourself, you're beat. Now, it's just that plain and simple. Jesus said, if a man would be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, I was just thinking during this past week, Jesus knew about yourself and mine. And just how our self and our self-interest and our self-planning and our self-thinking and our self-scheming and all those things are going to affect us. And that just the idea that somebody did something to somebody wouldn't go on forever just the same. People that are dominated by themselves, they won't pay any attention to that. Somebody did something to somebody, but that doesn't concern me. But if somebody does something to me, that's a different matter. That upsets things around my place. They did this to me. People ought not talk to me this way. People ought not treat me this way. I'm all upset now because something happened to me. And it won't go on forever just the same. That's self that talks that way and reasons that way. And we get all hurt and we get resentment and we get bitter and we get agitated because myself's been crossed. Somebody did something to me. As long as somebody did something to somebody, it goes on forever just the same without any ruffle. But let it turn my way, I get upset. Now, Jesus understood all of this and how these things were going to affect us and that we couldn't get into heaven with these things. With any bad attitudes, with any bitterness or resentment, ill will, anything of that nature, we couldn't get into heaven with that. And He knew just how these things were going to affect us, and that it all had its roots in the self, and in the self-life. So He said, just leave it when you start. Don't try to take it along. Jesus is going to be the governor and Lord of your life, or He won't be in it at all. You've heard the remark, I suppose. It's been common all my life where I was, whole hog or none. Well, that's kind of the way Jesus is. He'll be all or he'll be nothing in your life. And it's important that we don't only accept him as our Savior and our Redeemer, but we accept him as the Lord of our lives, to direct our lives and to tell us what to do. And he's not going to be running competition with self, so he said, just leave it when you start. And turn your life over to me. We discussed the thought of the rich young ruler. His self and self-interest got the upper hand of him. He wanted eternal life. He found eternal life. He was right in the presence of the author of eternal life that could lay it out to him and explain to him just how to enter into eternal life. But he missed the kingdom of God because his self-interest rose up, and he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. The prodigal son was actuated by self-interest, and it brought him down to the verge of tragedy. A tragedy did happen in his life, but it wasn't a fatal tragedy. But it brought him to the verge of a fatal tragedy himself. His self-interest, his self-planning and scheming and thinking and what he thought he could do if he was just out from under the hand and restraint of his father and was and had a little money and was able to go and do things, he could really go and do things. That is self. Self-esteem. Self-planning. Well, you know what happened to him. He came to himself and he came back. The prodigal's brother brought himself actually to a fatal tragedy through himself. He lost out on the whole thing. Didn't even get a sandwich out of the banquet. Wouldn't even go in the house and associate with the people that had come to rejoice with his father over his brother coming home. A fatal tragedy happened to him. It was himself. It's yourself that's going to ruin you if you're ruined. No one can rob you of God's blessings but yourself. We can think of many different excuses and blame 1,000 people maybe for the trouble that we're in. But it's yourself that got you there. Other people pass through the same situations you have and they haven't gotten down under them. It's the reaction that brought it about. The self that was in you. Jesus knew how this would all work out, and he said, don't try to make it dragging yourself along. Just leave him when you start. And folks, we can't serve two masters. We cannot serve God and ourselves. We talk about you can't serve God and mammon. Well, the Bible said that. That's the world. But you can't serve God and yourself either. If you're going to serve God, you have to leave yourself out of it. The violent take it by force. Folks, we've got to take a violent attitude toward ourselves if we ever make a success of living for God. Get rough on yourself. Treat yourself rough. Mutilate yourself. Beat yourself down. Paul said, I bring myself under. Keep my yourself in subjection. Beat it down. Jesus said, pluck out the eye, cut off the hand and the foot, mutilate yourself. Whatever's necessary to bring you in line with God's will and God's program. Everybody who have catered to themselves have missed the kingdom of God. And it's true today. Everybody that's allowing self to dominate in their lives and in their thinking and in their planning and in their schemings, they're missing the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 24, he said, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." Wouldn't this be a great world to live in if everybody lived by that code? I say it would. And a parallel text to that is in Philippians, the 2nd chapter and verse 4. It says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Folks, if we'll be more concerned about other people and their welfare than we are ourselves, I promise you we'll all get along good. And we'll all abound in the grace and love of Christ. I was thinking about this in this light. A few years back, there was a fad about the chain letter. Any of you ever remember that, about the chain letter? Well, it promised a lot of things. You just send out a letter and put a dollar in it or whatever the deal was to the first 5 people on the list, and it'd go on around and around and around, and at the end you'd get a lot of money when it come your turn. Your name come to the top of the list, you get a lot of money. Well, that went around for a while. I got some of those and they died with me. I never sent them any further. But I was thinking how that worked here in connection with these scriptures I just read to you. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. And let no man look on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Now, this is the way that it work. If I don't seek my own, but I seek your wealth, your welfare, your prosperity, the blessings of God on you, and I don't seek my own, I just seek those things that will be for your benefit and blessing, and you live that way too. When I get to where I need a blessing or I need a victory or I need a help, there'll just be a whole flock of people there bearing that burden and helping out with that. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. And that's just promiscuous here, see. Every one of us concerned about the wealth and prosperity, primarily spiritually, but in the problems of life too, bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ, we'll all share in that. And whoever's in any trouble, there'll just be the whole flock of us in there looking after them and sharing their burden, concern for their welfare. I think that's beautiful. I believe that's a good way to live. I think that's a good way for this church to live. I think it's a good way for every one of us that we would live our lives to the glory of God and to the service of one another. Now, Jesus said in the 22nd chapter of Luke and verse 42, he said, "Father, let this cup pass from me." He was pleading for that cup to pass from him. He was right up against the bets now. He'd been approaching this. He'd been telling his disciples about this. But now he was there. He was right up against it. And he said, "Father, let this cup pass from me if you be willing. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Where would we all have been today if Jesus would have catered to himself? He wanted the cup to pass from him. Where would we have been? No telling where we'd have been, but it wouldn't have been good. We're in a pretty good place today, folks. On the merits of Jesus, we're in a pretty good place. Saved from sin. Delivered from the plagues and torments of sin. And saved from a despair unto a hope of eternal life. We're in a pretty good place. But where would we have been if Jesus would have catered to himself? "Father, if you're willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He just killed himself right there. Put himself out. In the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 24, says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that after I have preached to others, I myself might be a castaway." He realized if he ever let that self show up and manifest itself, it could throw him clear off course. And he'd miss out in the end. And folks, that's just what can happen to you and me, and that's what will happen to you and me if we give place to ourselves. Now, backing up a little bit here, he's talking about this contest that we're in. It's a race. It's a fight. He brings it up under those headings. And he says, "Every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things." Well, even an athlete out here, he has to whip himself in line to a certain extent. And he has to forego certain things that other people engage in and that they knew and he would enjoy doing too, but it'd be against him in his athletics. And he's out there to win. He's preparing himself for the contest with the objective, I want to win this contest, whatever it is. If it's a foot race, or if it's a baseball game, or if it's a football game, or whatever it is, I want to win. And he's training, and he whips himself in line, and lays aside certain things, and won't eat certain foods. He loves them, but he won't eat certain foods. They'd interfere with me in my conditioning of myself for this contest that's coming up. He said they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. What does eternal life mean to you? What does heaven mean to you? It means exactly as much as serving God means to you. If you're reckless and careless about serving God, that's just what heaven means to you. But if heaven means all to you, serving God means everything too, because that's what's going to get you there. Serving God and not yourself and your selfish interests. Jesus knew he was going to call on people to do things in life in his service that would be contrary to their self-interest and self-planning. So he just said, don't try to bring him along. Just leave him at the very start. And equip and qualify yourself to follow me. Now, backing up a little bit, in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and beginning here with verse 19, for though I be free from all men, you remember, God said something regarding Saul of Tarsus, who was later Paul the Apostle. Among other things he said about him was delivering him from the people. Oh, folks, we need a great deliverance from the people. If we're going to serve God, we need a great deliverance from the people. And Paul obtained that. And he said, I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might save some, or gain the more. He wanted to save some. Somebody says, I'm free. I want my freedom. Give me my liberty. Okay, all right. But what follows that? God never made you free to do what you wanted to do. He never made you free to plan your own life and follow that through. He never made you free to do your own thing. He made you free from people so you could serve people. You can't serve people good if you're in bondage to them. I know that. I was for a time. But you can't serve people good if you're in bondage to them. You have to be set free from the people before you can serve them good. And he says, I'm free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Just give him a liberty, people say. All right. But that liberty in Christ means making yourself servant unto all. that you might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. Well, I don't know how difficult that was for Paul. He was a Jew. And in general, he could probably conform to Jewish customs as well as anybody. But his conflict, his real conflict, was with the Jews, the Judaizers, the Jews that wanted to bring their customs and their ordinances over and incorporate them into the plan of salvation and make them a part of salvation. That's where his chief conflict was. I wonder how much we are a servant unto all. We don't think we live self-centered lives, but do we? I hear people say sometimes in their testimony, I want to do something for the Lord. I want to work for the Lord. Good, fine. But sometimes they say, I don't see how to take hold, what to do. I will say to you, if you're here this morning and want to work for the Lord and don't have a job, come to me, I'll find you one. I'll give you a place to do something for the Lord. God's word says pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And we've got some widows among us. They need visiting. They'd appreciate a serenade at their door now and then. Sometimes their yards need cutting and sometimes they need some wood carried in. And sometimes they need help in one way or another, and I know where some of them are. If you're out of a job and want to do something for the Lord, you just come to me. I'll give you a place to work. Sick people need to be visited and sang to and prayed with and encouraged. And we just ought to have people engaging in the work of the Lord. And kind of laying aside some of our plans and some of our self-interest and self-planning and different things and go and work for God sometimes. Where the people are that need our service. There are people that need our service. All right, now he said, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Now, Paul was tenacious against including the law and its ordinances in the salvation of people. Salvation was through faith in Christ. But he said, I become as under the law, and he did in one case. You know how tenacious the Apostle Paul was about the idea of people having to submit to the ordinance of circumcision and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved, and he'd have no part of it. But on one occasion, he took his companion Timothy, and they was going into a predominantly Jewish area, took him and had him circumcised. Became as under the law, that he might gain those that were under the law. Missionaries that work in foreign fields. The people are different, and their customs are different, everything's different. But they have discovered that the more that they can conform themselves to the customs and the ways of those people that they're working with, the more success they can have. Paul learned that way back there. He was the first missionary, and he learned that that was a part of it. Just becoming as the people that he worked with. Well, you can't do that and carry yourself along. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. I'm wanting to gain everybody from all walks of life, from all kinds of situations and conditions. I'm wanting to gain them all. So I just get in there and live with them and become a partaker with them. Not of sin, not of their idolatry, not of their foolishness, but their general way of life and their customs and so on. I assimilate with them and get right in there and become as one of them. That's the way Jesus did with us. He didn't partake of our sin, but he partook of our humanity. And he sat right where we sit, and he met life just like we have to meet it, that he might be able to succor those who are tempted and to help us in our problems of life. And that's the way we're going to have to be if we ever help anybody. To the weak became I as weak. And I think this is quite a sticker, folks. Most of folks that feel pretty strong, they think, I'm not going to get down here and cater to this fellow that's weak. He needs to get strong like I am. Well, the way he'll get strong like you are is for you helping him do that. And the way you can help him is sympathize with his weakness and show him how to grow into adulthood in his spiritual life. Come to maturity. Grow up, develop into a mature saint. But if you just kind of pass him up, bypass him, so to speak, you'll kill him off. He'll never grow into maturity. And for as strong a man as Paul was, to me, he was a spiritual giant. And he about topped the list of all of them in my category. To come down and assimilate with and partake with the weak and bear their infirmities, he had to just about kill himself out to do that. You will too. The violent take it by force. And folks, we've got to get a violent opposition to ourself. And every time it shows up, do just like the Apostle Paul said, I bring under my body and keep it in subjection. Another translation says, I beat it down. I see him as a pugilist in the ring, and he's got his opponent down. And every time he starts to raise up, he gives him another lick and knocks him back down. Doesn't give him a chance. Folks, that's the way you got to treat yourself. Every time self tries to assert itself and rise up, give it another lick. Don't give it a chance. When Paul came in contact with these weak folks, though he was a spiritual giant, head and shoulders above everybody of his day, I think, but he just climbed right on down there. Got down there and identified with them weak folks. Folks, that is a real blow to his self and his self-life. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I want to help these folks. made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He couldn't have done this by any means, catering to himself, and you can't either. And you can't be of much service or value in God's service as long as you cater to yourself. Make your own plans and do your own thing. You just can't do it. The violent take it by force. As I mentioned in the beginning, it involves a mutilating of yourself, mauling yourself, beating yourself down, getting rough on yourself, plucking out the eye and cutting off the foot and the hand in order to be an effective servant for Christ. Now he says, I made all things to all men. He learned that. God help you and me to learn that. We have the same teacher he had. And this I do for the gospel's sake. I want the gospel to go. I want the gospel to be effective. The gospel that you represent will be just as effective in the eyes of your associates as you represent it to be. If you present a gospel of saving grace, but manifest and demonstrate that you're not saved from yourself, the gospel will be just that effective in the eyes of those that you associate with, your neighbors, your friends, your household, wherever. It'll be just that effective. This I do for the gospel's sake. What are you willing to do for the gospel's sake? What am I willing to do for the gospel's sake? Is the gospel and its prosperity paramount in my thinking and in all of my doing? If it is, I'll be willing to go all out. Crucify self, mutilate self, maul him down, whatever necessary. Go all out to properly represent the gospel and to give impetus and power and authority to the gospel that I represent. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen.